celebrate their harvest for the year. And they'd bake each other cakes, and that's why we have it, the dinners and all of that stuff. So tomorrow, go through it, no matter what you're facing, with thanksgiving in your heart. You know, we've had a good year. God has been a good God. He's allowed us to take our nation back, and praise God, hallelujah, and God back into schools and different things. And we prayed and fasted, and we believed God, and we voted, and I believe God opened the hearts of people all over the United States of America to rise up and take our country back, hallelujah. And I believe we're going to see the best. I believe we're going to see the best we've ever seen it, I believe, hallelujah, praise God. But just because of God, it's not because of one man or anything. But the title tonight is Strong Under Pressure, hallelujah. And no matter what you're going through, praise God, tomorrow's a good time, you know, I try to make it a point. I'm called on most of the time to pray everywhere I go over the food and stuff, and hallelujah, for whatever reason, and always bring up Jesus. You know, if you're not right with the Lord, it's time to get saved. It don't matter if it's Thanksgiving dinner or wherever it's at, you know. And the Bible says in Mark 16:17, it says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." He said, "In my name they'll cast out devils." You know, we can cast out devils. We take up serpents. He said, "They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." And that's not just for the preachers. That's not for just for the preachers. He says, "These signs will follow them that believe." Hallelujah. And so wherever we go and whoever we gather with, if the opportunity comes up for you to pray for somebody, don't be shy. Don't be, you know, be strong. Come on, somebody, be strong. Hallelujah. You know, the Apostle Paul, he said over there in Corinthians, I believe it was, he says, "We having the same spirit of faith," he said, "we believe," he said, "I believe and therefore I speak." He said, "and we believe and therefore we speak." And I was thinking about it this afternoon. I was thinking, you know, the holiday, like Johnny said, and you know, when things happen and loved ones goes on and, you know, and all of that stuff, there is a grieving process that ought to take place in our life. But you know what will help you through that faster? That's giving God glory, hallelujah. That's giving God, that's lifting Him up. That's magnifying Him. And I know we all understand how tough it is to praise God under pressure. We understand that it's not as easily said as it is done. We understand, hallelujah, that our flesh just wants to figure things out and seclude ourselves. But you know what? We're smarter than that. We're smarter than the devil, bless God. The Bible says that the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in me and you, and He'll also quicken, give strength to our mortal bodies by His Spirit if we stay strong, if we're not giving in. Hallelujah. I understand. My dad's gone. My mom's gone. My older brother's gone. I mean, I got a lot of people in my family gone, and all of my sisters gone, and, you know, and a lot of my aunts and uncles on both sides is gone and all of that stuff, you know what? But I'm going to live. Hallelujah. They lived their life and they're going on, praise God, and I'm not going to mourn 30 years for them. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise God for the victories in their life. The Bible says if you have loved ones that's gone on, don't let it ruin your praise God and thanksgiving to God tomorrow. Don't let it stand in the way of the joy of the Lord that can manifest in your life. Don't let it stand in the way, praise God, of the faith of God and the Word of God. The Bible says that people, that we receive the engrafted Word of God, which is able to save our souls. Hallelujah. You know, we can all slip into, you know, a lot of different things in the seasons we go through. Satan jumps and takes advantage of that stuff on people. I mean, he brings up and how they feel and how I feel. I understand when my mama went on to be with the Lord, it was very hard. It was very hard because I dedicated my life to honoring my mother And I was like, on, you know, not on call 24/7, but I was the one that she called on when she needed something and all that. And that was great, hallelujah. But when she went on, I did. I felt sad. I felt distraught. I felt like, I you know, Thanksgiving's not going to be the way it is. You know, Christmas is not going to be the way it was. No, it ain't. It's better. I started rejoicing, praise God, that my mama knew Jesus Christ, hallelujah. See, if our lost loved ones don't know Jesus, they're in very big danger. So our life, our faith, our joy, our peace, our being strong under pressure is what our lamp is. It's what our light is. The Bible says, let our light so shine that men shall see our good works and give glory to God. It'll bring glory to God. Hallelujah. So God, see, Satan don't want you strung under pressure. You know what? The Bible says that we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors. But you know what? I took that tractor apart, put it back together, you know, and I was telling Robert a little bit, you know, and he said, you have a manual. And I said, well, nah. You do it yourself. I said, well, yeah. I told him, and I was being serious. You know, and when we apply the Word of God to our life and we're practicing it, you know, and all of that, we get stronger in faith in God because we know that He'll help us. He will anoint us. He will encourage us. He will strengthen us. Why? Because that's how you become strong under pressure, is not giving in to the pressures and feelings and emotions. You will not get stronger that way. Well, I told him, I said, well, I kind of burnt myself back in when I was about 28. I shouldn't have said the word burnt. But I run across the scripture in Philippians 4 over there where it says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And I brought that into doing transmissions. I brought that into doing garage doors. I brought that into doing. I stood in one time and I'm looking at a job and It's the biggest. It's one of the biggest jobs when I first started out in business. And I walked around in there, and I didn't know, Johnny. I mean, the door. It was I'm a short guy, anyways. But I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, oh my God! I'm looking at that door opening, and I thought, I can't do this. And I'm going backwards and forwards there, and I thought, I can't do this. And then the scripture come up. I can do all things. And I looked at it. I thought, oh my gosh! I can. So I got me a ladder, and come to find out, it was nearly 10 foot deeper the ground because they were going to bring big rolling engines in there. So they dug down about 10 or 15 foot, and they going to pack it in and build it up, and then pour about 5 to 6 foot of concrete on top of it. So the door actually looked taller than it was. And so I went on, you know, and I thought, man. What if we mess up? What if, now I'm talking about being strong under pressure. But I wasn't that way right then because, you know, you're kind of on your own, making your own game plans and all of that till you get born again. And then you got to go from, you know, figuring it out and doing all that to learning how to lean on Him. Lean on Him. Trust in Him. I'm talking about trusting in Him to prosper you. Trusting in Him to increase you. Monty said something about his job. So I told, anyhow, before I get off on all that. This is not my message, Beth. She's just out of it right now. You know? But I put that transmission back together, you know, and it goes in all the gears, and I was telling them, now I'm putting the front end loader on it and all of that stuff, you know. And then I stand there and I think, I knew I could because I done conquered the big doors down yonder. I knew I could because if God be for you, who can be against you? If He's your shield and He's your buckler, if He's your strong tower and the righteous what run to Him, they don't run from Him. They don't say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do this time. No, they run to Him. They run into Him. And the Bible says we're safe, hallelujah. What was I going to say about Monty now? Oh, yeah. I know what I was going to say. something's happening at his job or whatever, and he's in a little trial run or whatever. He's already got a new truck. How many knows? I know what that was down yonder when I drove the old. I mean, ever DOT, you didn't want them to pull you over because you're going to be on the side of the road. You're driving for another company. It ain't your fault. You know, you're driving them where you don't want to get too close because they done, your brake shoes are done seized up and got slicked over, and you don't stop that good, you know, and all of that stuff, you know. But then you get born again, and then you walk around, you're learning about Deuteronomy 28, where it says, if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, all you got to do is listen to Jesus today. It's all we got to do. He said, if you're hearken to the voice, he said, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. He didn't say you'll make it happen. He said it'll come on you and overtake you. And I'm going around and down there amongst all of them heathens at work. They say you can't work around a bunch of sinners, but you're in the right place, baby. I'm telling you, you're in the right place with all them cussers and all them pornographers and all of them joke-telling junk and all of that, you know. You don't partake in them, but you let your voice be known too. Hallelujah. And that's what I was doing. I was telling them down there, I'm going to prosper. God's going to prosper me. And they just look at you like, who do you think you are? But see, what they don't realize is you ain't the same man you was a year ago, a half a year ago. You done got born again. And something came on the inside of you. His name is Christ in you, the hope of glory that drives you toward the kingdom, that drives you toward being healed, toward being full of faith, towards being faith-filled and joy-filled. You come to the place when you, all I was doing, I didn't know, Robert, if it really worked or not back then. I didn't have a whole showboat of people, you know, surrounding me saying, it works, it works. I had a bunch of them going to church believing nothing. I mean, they go into church and then they think I done fell off my rocker because I got faith that God's going to increase me. Well, I don't know where their trust was. Maybe it was in their job. Maybe it was, I don't know. But if it was in that, I done been there, done that, and that didn't get me far. But you know what? I know how it is here before you know it. He bought a brand new 35-foot Peterbilt with air windows. Air conditioned, 9-speed Fuller, man. I'm talking about brand new. And I'm like, woo, hallelujah. They put me in, he put me in it. I'm going down through there. And then now, you know, I don't care what it is in your life, you don't never get high-minded. You catch goals you're reaching for. You might be broke and God brings you to wealth. Don't drive around thinking nothing different than you did before you got it. I don't care if you succeed in whatever you succeed in. Listen, you didn't do it on your own, sweetheart. That pressure of that is taking you down. Now, I'm not talking about big trials. I'm talking about our image. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said it this way. He said, "Think no more high. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to." You know, I mean, like I said, this is not my message best. She ain't gonna. See, God's going to prosper you. Well, they put me in that Peterbilt, and I went around telling them, look at God, what he's doing for me, y'all. Just watch. And I'm thinking, I hope you show up, God. I hope you show up, man. You're going to look bad because I've been telling them how big you are here. I've been telling them how I feel on the inside, man. They're already looking, you know, like Scotty's a Fruit Loop. He's a basket case, man. He done faith this and faith that and faith this. And I thought, I wonder what it's supposed to be. I done found the scripture in there in Romans 10:17 that says faith comes by hearing. I done heard preachers say, if you want to, you've been given the measure of faith. Went to the Bible, every man's been given the measure of faith. And they started saying, if you want to build your faith, you get the word. Act on the word. Get it on the finances. Find out what it says about your money. Find out what it says about your body. Find out what it says about your mind. Find out what it says. Now, it took me a little while. I mean, it ain't just bling. So I started renewing my mind to the word of God. When I left that place in less than a year, I started coming to the house of God. I took the scripture over there in Malachi 3. And it says, bring your tithes into my storehouse, that there will be lights and water. Don't say that, but it says food in my house, that my house will be supplied. And then it says, and I will rebuke Satan for you. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. He said, your fruit won't cast, your vine won't cast its fruit before it gets ready. And in other words, that's your harvest. And so, when I left that place, I started giving offerings and tithes and listening to the Lord and acting on the Word of God. How many knows you know the Word of God and don't act on the Word? And no acting on the Word will get you no fruit. It'll get you no results. You know, I preached a sermon one time because God spoke to me and He said, salvation without sacrifice is no salvation. He said, salvation cost you your will. He said, it's free because Jesus paid for it. He said, but it cost you sacrifice. He said, and then after you got born again, you begin to have to sacrifice money. You begin to have to sacrifice your will. I just preached on when our will crosses God's will. See, the wisdom of God is the Bible. The wisdom of God is the Bible. And knowledge is knowing how and when to apply the Word of God. You know, the wisdom is the Bible. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it, right? Well, what are you supposed to do when you learn that? Act on it, right? If you act on it, then they won't stray. I know. You've got all kinds of examples, right? What are we going to believe? What the Bible says. See, we can't go by what we look at. What we see. People's experience. What people do and all that. Because Satan will come in and give you outward evidence to get you not to act on the Word. God told me, it says, train up a child in the way they should go. And even when he's old, it don't say they'll go sow their oats, Mac. It don't say they'll stray from God. It don't say it. Even when Travis didn't look like he was, I didn't look at him and I didn't say, well, it don't work. It don't work. Oh, God, he's like the rest of them. He's got his own will. Satan will start all that garbage with you, not just on kids, but I come back to him and I said, I raised him and trained him up in the way of God, and you will not take him out. You will not take him away from God. You will not take him away from us. And I bind you, that is being strong under that pressure. And you know what? It wasn't just a week or two. And I mean, I felt awful. See, you can't go by how you feel. I felt like he's going to backslide. I felt like he's going to get in trouble. He's going to prison. He's going to jail. Because I know how he is without God, dumb like me. You get mad and angry and all of the... Everybody don't, but I know how he is. But I wouldn't turn loose of it, and I kept telling God, and the Bible said, and that's what it means. I didn't start speaking what I saw. The Bible, Paul says, we believe, therefore we speak. Right? Now you speak tomorrow, this is going to be the best Thanksgiving I've ever had in my life, because you're in my life, God. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because in spite of everything that you're facing and will face, praise God, you can have the joyous time of your life. That's up to you. It's not up to God. It's not up to God. Well, God, if you'd make me feel better, He already has. Look on the inside and then your emotions will change. When I left that place, Mac, where my brothers had worked all his life and brother-in-law, that man had raised me up financially. He couldn't give me no more because he would have hurt people that had been there longer than me. He wanted to, but he couldn't. So God moved me out into my own business because I was believing to prosper. I was believing to have my own home. I couldn't see it back then other than if daddy and them died and left me, if they had land that we didn't know nothing about, had 3 acres and 14 kids. You're not going to get but a couple of rocks. Me and Teresa's telling God, God, if somebody would just give us a break, if somebody would give us a break, if somebody would give us a car, if somebody, we understand the pressures of life and the having to learn and to live and walk by faith. We understand the pressures of feeling like it's never going to happen, feeling like the circumstances are never going to change. But you know though what? That's when you're built. See, the Bible builds you up to do warfare. The Bible tells you your weapons are not carnal. The Bible tells you in Ephesians that you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Bible tells you, and then it tells you to engage in spiritual warfare. You know what? I found out it ain't too much of all of that, you know, spiritual warfare stuff. Is simply to submit yourself to God, resist the devil. That's spiritual warfare. He has to flee. See, and then in there where Jesus said they couldn't cast out devils, look, tomorrow I'm looking for all of y'all to be laying hands on the sick. We're on a mission. I'm going to eat some turkey. Hope somebody gets some ham. I like ham. I like giblet gravy and some of that dressing. And I always say I'm going to carry me a plate home with me. And then I'm like, well, I don't want to eat too much and carry too much because somebody else. See, the Bible makes you generous instead of a hog. Right? He makes you willing to leave it for others and let them take it home with them. Right? Yes. And then when they invite somebody you don't like, they don't get all upset. Christians just don't get all upset. They just give them some of their portion. Huh? Come on, somebody. I've seen people get so mad at our dinners. But God, they didn't bring nothing, brought everybody. And I had one down there, and I never did get mad at him. He brought his girl. He brought his wife a basket, going to fix it, and she didn't even come. And I said, not going to happen. I said, that's just not going to happen. Like that. Well, he starts sneaking over there, and I'm watching him. I said, where are you going? Johnny, I'm telling you, man. I mean, he's determined. He's going to eat all he wants, and he's carrying his sweet little wife back a plate. And we didn't invite the community. So under pressure, you can stay in a right spirit and handle stuff and not get all upset and bent out of place and leave there wishing you'd just backslide. That's the way it makes you feel. I'm just better off the backslide. I felt better than when I went to the dinner. See, you're supposed to leave. Glory to God. God moved. Hallelujah. I left Doris Nims last year, and I prayed over the food and stuff, and I released my faith. Hallelujah. And I talked about Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you know, if you don't do it here, you know, make him the Lord again. I mean, I did. I brought Jesus in, man. If he ain't welcome there, I ain't eating. Right? If he ain't welcome in there, might well leave. Ain't nothing there I want. I'm going to get my belly full, and I'm not going to leave with much else. Hallelujah. And I thought about it. I thought, you know, when I gather with my family for Christmas, I'm going to bring Jesus up. I'm going to bring him up. I'm going to tell the glorious and good things, you know. And people have told me before, well, you know, people's just going through stuff. I know I'm trying to give them something to go through it with them. Right? The Bible says in Psalms 23, you know, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord's our shepherd. But you just don't know. You got to get out of all that. Nobody knows what you're going through. You don't know what everybody else is going through. Have you thought about that? Hallelujah. It ain't about us, what we're going through. Thank God we're going through. We're going right on through. Somebody say, I'm going through. Hallelujah. I'm not going to get stuck. Hallelujah. Lord brought me out and I looked at that big door, you know, and I give a price on that. And I couldn't even hardly tell the guy, man. It was like $35,000. I'm like, 35,000. He looked at me and said, well, I'll be right back. I thought, oh, my God, I should have went more than that. Then I'm thinking, oh my God, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And then I thought, all things is possible. Luke 9. When you go to look at impossible, look at Luke 9. It says, all things are possible to those that believe, not to those that fold their hands in the times of pressure. That's what the enemy wants. He wants you folding. He wants you not enjoying your everyday life. Well, I'm not going to live that way. I don't know about you, but I'm not. I don't let my mind, today my mind was on a lot of stuff. I got a lot of pressure, you know, stuff going on with cow and blah, 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 and this and that. And I got to come down and get some kerosene in the heater down here because y'all guys are going to be cold. I mean, whatever, diesel fuel on Thanksgiving because I got to work Friday. And I thought, oh, man. So I thought, glory to God, I'm privileged to get to go down there. I thank you, Lord, we got a heater. Thank you, Lord, we got we got that giveaway, God. Thank you, Lord. So you gotta shift that. All of that is trying to get you down and let your heart start giving thanksgiving unto God. Now I can't hardly wait to get up in the morning, man. Woo! Get the keys when they get home, lay them on the counter. Hallelujah. Then hurry on over there. Ooh, hey, guys. What time we eating? What time we going to eat, man? I used to go in there and try to get me a little nibble. See what everybody, what's this? What does that taste like? See if I won't eat all that. Hallelujah. Then I thought, well, you know, that's kind of disrespectful. People don't want you sticking their fingers in their food before you eat. Don't know where you've been scratching your nose or what. Praise the Lord. But how many knows when that guy, he comes back and he says, well, okay, he said, we want to go ahead and do it. I said, you do? They do? He said, yeah, sure, man. We need it done. And I said, well, you know, you're going to have to give me that check right there. And it was like 20 grand. And I'm like, I didn't even want to say it, Johnny. I'm serious. I'm nervous. I'm all nervous. This is this job here, and I'm like, I hope we can do it all. I hope we don't have no trouble. Yeah. He comes out with a 20-something thousand-dollar check, and I thought, oh my God, he better be glad I'm saved. I'd be losing town, man. I mean, go bankrupt on the first job. I ain't paying for no doors or nothing. I got 35 grand. Me and Teresa used to just load up, you know, anybody, anytime we want to, buddy. We'd be in Florida. In 10 or 11 hours, we'd be out of here, boy. I'm thinking, whoo. We went up, but I didn't go with the temptation. How many knows we're tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust? That wasn't the Lord. Devil didn't even have to do that. I'm thinking, my God, 30-something thousand, man. I could cash this, you know. Well, I went on, you know, paid for the door. We went on, done the job, and I made in 2 weeks, I made what it took me 1 year to make. And people have, boy, you shouldn't be telling them stories. I'm not telling you a story. I'm telling you what God's able to do. I'm telling you I was trusting God to prosper me. I was trusting God to make me a successful businessman. Praise God. I was trusting God. See, what was happening, because I was trusting Him, I was getting stronger and didn't even realize it in Him. I was getting stronger in Him and stronger in Him when I would face these things and fail and get up. Up and dust it off. I run across the scripture where it says a righteous man will fall 7 times, but he'll get up. And I'd be like, man, I might make some mistakes, but I'm not going to quit. I'm going to get up. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know what? That was not the only job. I mean, he brought that business from nothing to $500,000 in gross and growing in this building in the middle of Bluntsville with one red light. And then he says, I want this prosperity in this building. And you're involved. Then I go to church, Mac, and as a prophet comes in, they say the prophets died away. All that, don't listen to them. Don't care who it is. That's not what the Bible says. You can read it in Ephesians for yourself. that he gave the apostle, the prophet, for the fivefold ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ until it comes into unity, into the knowledge of the measure of Christ Jesus. It don't say nothing went away. The church started in the book of Acts, and the church is going to end when Jesus comes back and receives us. That's when the church that started in Acts is going to... We are the generations on down from the Apostle Paul and all of them. Hallelujah. And we have the same power. We have the same anointing. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same Word. You know, studies show, some of the theologians show that Paul was chained to a dead man. His body rotten and all of that, you know. And in Romans 9, studied that out. That's what I've heard and different things, you know. Whether it bears out or not, I don't know. But it's given a gruesome situation there. And in Romans over there, he said, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But then he went right on and he said, "I thank my Christ through Christ Jesus," the life of Jesus. You know, Paul wasn't in prison when they were being beat. Had to leave where he lived and all of that. And God began to send him on a mission to carry the grace of God, to carry the message of the grace of God. He was anointed to carry that. And break down all of the laws and sacrifices, not break them down, but bring clarity that Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice for their sins. Hallelujah. And he's in prison. Him and Silas are in prison. And I mean for telling about this. So we don't need to be cowing down in the hour of oppression in our families, depression in our families, losses in our families, or, you know, tragedies in our families. That's what the Bible is talking about over there in Psalm 30-something, I believe it is. It says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Let me read to you what afflictions means. See, I find that when I'm really not selfish, people can't get on my nerves. I find that when I'm flexible, nobody can move me. I find that when I'm not about myself and what I want and what I don't want and what I do want, I find it more joyful in life. I find it more pleasing on the inside of life. And most of the time, when I'm not selfish, it seems like I get my way with God. It just seems like that it seems like to me that the favor of God comes my way. It just seems like it. He says, evil, adversity, affliction, calamity, displeasure, distress, grief, mischief, misery, and trouble. A word afflictions, that's in Psalms 34:19. The word affliction means that, means all of that. I looked it up. I studied it. I wanted to know for myself. What afflictions? What afflictions is the Bible talking about here? That God delivers me out of them all. That God brings deliverance out of them all to me. What are they? I want to know. How many know it's good for you to study to show yourself approved unto God? A workman that needeth not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of God, and then when somebody brings something up to me, I'll say, many are the afflictions. You're in afflictions right there, but if you'll look to God and you'll trust God, God will deliver you out of all of them. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, that, I believe that's why the Apostle Paul, they were in prison. I mean, I know we go through hardship. I know we go through trouble. But if we want to see victory, we can't lay down and surrender to whatever is going on in the situation. We cannot. Because when we surrender, we're laying our faith down. We're laying our confidence in God down. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, that's what he's talking about in Mark 4 over there when he talks about three different grounds that seed or sows the word, three different grounds. One of them stony ground. you know, that don't have no root. Why don't it have root? Because it ain't staying in place long enough to get root. The more that you stand strong under pressure, the deeper your roots go in God. Deeper your confidence goes in God. Deeper your, it's like, now I'm like, glory to God. God, I'll just ask you whatever I want, but I'm going to make sure what I want you, because I know I'll get it, God, whatever I ask you for. Now back down yonder, I'm like, I wonder if I could ask him for that and get it. I didn't know God. I knew of God. See, Teresa was going through the vertigo, whatever it was. Anyhow, our life was good. Our life was good. Then this thing hit. How long did that last? 2 or 3 years? Really bad. 6 years. Now, my wife is a Proverbs 31 woman. I mean, she mows the yard. I mean, this woman right here takes care of the church. This woman mows the yard about 3 or 4. I'm the culprit that cleaned off that much. I was going to clean off more, and she said, don't clean off no more. No, stop right there, because she mows it. She don't like me leaving streaks and stuff, and so she likes to do it herself. She's a manicure type. Nothing wrong with that. You want your yard to look good for Jesus, right? Hallelujah. Well, you know, she mows the yard. She takes care of the church. She ministers Sunday school, you know. She buys all the stuff for the church and works in the church and does all of my business stuff and book work and paying all my bills and running and doing all the things for Blunt Overhead Door. And all of that stuff came to a stop. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, how am I going to go preach to that church faith? Wasn't too bad for the first 6 months. Then when a year rocked around, oh, Jesus. I go in one day and we go to doctors. We go to doctors and we get referred to doctors and we go to this doctor in Birmingham. They send us to Huntsville. They send us to Huntsville and went through, kindergarten to me. And then we go to Huntsville, down to Birmingham, and we're going through the same thing. And I told that girl, I said, hey, we done this. Whatever she's doing. Teresa, shh, shh. I'm like, we're not going through this. We done this in Huntsville. They sent us to another one to try it again, I guess. You know, anyways. Bottom line, we can't help you. Can't do nothing. See, you might think you're in a place where you're not going to get deliverance. You might think you're in a place where there's no more options. You might think you're in a place where you're just at the mercy of whatever you're facing, but that is not the truth. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, so shall you be my disciples. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free from oppression, free from vertigo, free from... Well, I go in there one day and I'm feeling sorry for her. I just hate it for her. This is not good. She can't drive. She can't go. She can't cook. I even get her a chair, the chair out of there and give it to her. And she rolls around the house holding on to the wall with the chair because she'll just fall over in the floor like a drunk. And so Thanksgiving comes around, right? What you gonna do? Christmas comes around, right? Your whole world's been shook. Everything that was easy street seemed to be gone in an instant. What do you do? Well, I start fasting and praying. I went three and a half, four days, fasting and believing God and confessing over and all of that stuff. Well, I go in the house one day and I start back through there and she said, I'm stuck in this body. See, you might feel like you're stuck sometime in your situation. You might feel like you're stuck in this level of faith. You might feel like you're stuck when you're stuck in this place where you can't seem to get traction when you want to change. You might think you're stuck. But I went in there and the Spirit of God spoke to me. The Holy Spirit said, tell her to fight. I come back through there and I told her, I said, you got to fight. And her response out of her mouth to me was, I'm believing God. There is a difference in believing God and fighting. I said there is a difference in believing God. I read that scripture and I believe He can do it for you, Johnny. There's a difference in fighting for it myself. And so I said, hey, I said, that's just what the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. And so teaching, a little teaching there. See, whenever the enemy don't want you engaging, when the truth comes to you, sometimes you will feel that resistance. You will feel that aggravation. You will feel that irritation. But that's when you got to bypass your feelings to the truth and say, this is the truth. The Word is the truth. And you know what? You know what I saw her do? I left and I was like, hey, man, threw my hands up and I was like, hey. Then I went out and I was like, God, help her to fight, God. Help her to fight. Help me to fight. Lord, I believe it ain't been really fighting. Maybe, you know, Lord, if I'm believing and not fighting, God, show me. Help me here. Strengthen me. That's what you do. You turn to Him. It's not fighting your own strength in this. You know, when you're believing God, you're leaning on Him. Your confidence is in Him. Your strength is in Him. Your motivation comes from Him. Your joy comes from Him. You might be enduring, weeping endures for a night, but your joy is going to come in the morning if you don't surrender. Well, you know what? I came in. I started coming in, and you know what was on? Preaching. I came in at different times and I'd hear her taking her medicine that the doctor didn't give her. The Word's medicine. She's reading them scriptures three times a day? What's it? 3 times a day. She made it just like a bottle of antibiotics. She's reading them scriptures 3 times a day over her healing scriptures, 1 Peter 2:24, Isaiah. She's saying them over her, they're mine. In the name of Jesus, there's fighting now. She started fighting instead of laying there believing God. Started fighting. Well, goes on, and before you know it, I come in, there's praise and worship on them. I'm feeling like I want to come home earlier. Atmosphere was different. Atmosphere's a lot different when you start fighting. The presence of the Lord's there, the Holy Spirit, and then that anointing begins to come and destroy those yokes, destroy those things that is stealing your faith and trying to rob you of your faith and your joy and your future and your hope. And then before you know it, I came in and I opened the door and she's standing there with the keys. I said, what's going on? She said, heal people, drive. I thought, oh my God. Oh! At that time, she was not all the way yet. You know, and then I thought, the angels are encamped around about me. But God, I got angels, you know. So we get in there. What is she doing? She's acting on. She's acting on her faith now. She done got built up in here. See, you start getting built up in the Word. You start, as you have believed, you're going to start speaking. Well, you know what? She got rid of that, Mac. It took her a little while. She did, through Jesus Christ and the Word of God, what the doctors couldn't do. They couldn't help her. See? Now see, the Lord is building. This church is pretty strong under pressure. Y'all all are. You might say, well, work on it. If you see you're not, well, then don't say, well, God understands my heart. Don't get into all of that. Don't get in there with the devil. Nobody knew. Something happened the other day and I walked into the store. I just start preaching in there, you know. I start telling them about the Lord stuff, you know, and they're like, the customers are like, hey, look at the customer and they look like it, man. I'm like, it's okay. It's okay, man. Jesus is in here. He loves them, you know. He loves them, you know, and everything. And so, I told him, I said, come look at this right here. This tore up. One of my tractors broke down, you know. And another one broke down. And another one broke down. Nobody knew. My cows has got to be fed. Right? 30 of them. You think they're going to wait on me to fix the tractor, wait till the parts comes in 3 weeks? Not going to happen. They'll eat everybody's house down around there. I won't have no fence left. And so I'm going out there. I said, come look at this, man. Measure this. See if you can. He's walking across there, you know. And I said, hey, man. I said, you know what? He said, what? Go down at Terry's. I said, I could start singing what song most Christians I know sing. Or maybe not sing, but they think this way. He looked at me and he said, what's that? Nobody knew the troubles. I told him, I said, but I'm not going to sing that. I said, because the Lord is my shepherd. See, I don't care if I'm in the parking lot. Nobody can fix it up. Nobody can get to it. God will show me where to go. He'll show me what to do. If he don't, he'll show me how to fix it. He'll show you how to fix it. I'm bringing you in here. So tomorrow, give God thanks. Get up and give him thanks in the name of Jesus. I've got some of my family members, the doctors can't do nothing about their situation. They've been in pain in their face for years and years like that. But I will not let it get to my emotions. I've been lifting him up. I've been lifting the other ones up and saying, God, this is going to be for your glory. I don't care. The doctors can't help them. The doctors can't do nothing. But your name is above every name. And that name has the bow at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And when some in my other one, one of them would get on the phone with me, oh, I'm just blah, blah, blah. I'm just so weak. I can't. I don't know why. Blah, 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 blah. I told them last time I was on the phone, I said, oh, you know Jesus. You said you know Jesus. Right. I said, I can tell you right now, there's different anointings. See what I'm saying? I'm not going to get to my poor family member. Jesus, if you can. What do you mean if he can? What do you mean if he can? But God, the Bible says he can. He told him, if you can, Lord, do this. He said, what do you mean if I can? I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, can you believe I can? You see, faith is contagious, Munchie. If we got faith, hell can be breaking loose in our life. I mean everything. I mean everything going south on both sides. We're pressured on every side, Paul says. Persecuted, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus. But we can be good. And somebody that comes, they tell us something about their trouble, and we say, oh man, don't worry about it. Jesus has got it, man. Just keep your faith up there, bless God, hallelujah. And then they walk off, and boy, if I had the faith he had. And then they find out later you're going through, and they're like, oh, God, you was going through all of that. We never did know it. Why would you know it? I'm trusting God. Yeah. I could have wrote down everything that I had, and you might have went home and committed suicide on top of your little mountain. See, but faith is contagious. Once you got faith, praise God, somebody goes up in your family, they don't know if the Lord, they hoping the Lord will heal them, and I mean you got it on the inside, now you're already healed. You're already healed. He already healed you 2,000 years ago, and bless God, you come out with that, and you say, no, you're already healed. You're just waiting on the manifestation of it. You just stay strong, trusting in the Lord. Reminds me of Monty, him back when they was going after their house and stuff, you know. And I mean, you got a baby, not now, but I mean, you're 8 years old. Why, 8 years old in the Lord, really, maybe?
Now I'm 10.
10. She was a baby. This has been 6-7 years ago. I mean, we're still babies. I've only been in it 20 years. I'm just past teenager. Why did I get a man? That devil's really messed up when I mature, when I become a man. Yeah, they're going through. And she's going in there in that library. And this woman is getting books like crazy. I mean, she's just every week or so, I mean, she's in there checking them out. And then she's whipping Monty. Hey, shut that up. Don't say that. What was she doing? She's built up. She's in the same house he is, right? She's in the same situation, but she's not focusing on it. She's focused on the Word. She's focusing in on the Word of God and what the Lord said. You know, that's exactly what's happening. I'm watching them. Well, Monty's up there. Look, we understand when we're under pressure and things and we need a move of God. We need things to change because it looks bad if it don't. And if we don't hurry up, it's not going to really work out. I mean, you get desperate. That's not good. I told a guy in the parts house today, I was wanting some more parts for this tractor. Well, I hadn't got them. I thought, this is the way it is. I told him. I didn't say that. Never got them. Got to wait till Monday or Tuesday or Thursday. Maybe next week. Call one tractor place. Oh, it's going to be about 3 weeks or slow. And I'm like, man, I could walk out there and get it back in 3 weeks. God, man, UPS is usually a couple of days. It's because y'all don't order it till 2 weeks later because you're trying to get everybody's together so it don't cost as much. So we got to wait. I'm a businessman. I know what I'm talking about. So don't give me that crap. You can order it yesterday. A guy said, do you want me to UPS a check? Man, I wish I was there. I said, sure. I've never had that happen before. He said, you got a cash app? I said, I do not have a cash app, and I do not connect that to my banking account. It may be safe, but I don't know. You're not getting my money. You're not hacking me. Hack my banking account, and then I go in there and denied. And I'm like, denied? No, there ain't no way you're denied. Go to the bank. Oh, you're broke. And I'm like, what? You got to be crazy. Y'all better give my money up. Somebody hacked me. That's not going to happen to me. That is not going to happen to me. Hallelujah. And so, I told him, I was standing there and I told him, I'm going to tell about it in a minute, Monty. I ain't forgot. So I told him. I said, I called his name and I said, I know them all, you know. And I said, you know, I'm having to use a scripture on something right now. He looked at me and he said, what? What's that? I said, Paul, I want this tractor fixed today before lunch. I said, and y'all ain't got the parts. I said, so I'm having to use the scripture where it says be anxious for nothing. But by prayer and supplication with, thank you, Lord, you ain't got to. What? Are you serious? With thanksgiving. So I left there and I said, thank you, Lord. The parts are on their way, God. You're an on-time God, and I'll have my parts right on time. I'll get everything fixed right on time. I could have left out of there, I'm telling you, these stupid parts, places, blah, 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 blah. I could have just plumb depressed God if it was able to depress him. And so Monty and them going through that, and I mean, you know, they're, and believe in God, we know how it is. You know, and he's under pressure. You know, he's just under, I mean, as a man, you know, and I know he had to learn how that he's not the supplier of his family. Now, I know how hard that is, challenging that is, that God's our supply, God's our source, God takes care of my family. I'm casting this over on God, and God will take care of my family. Well, Monty, you know, I was thinking about how, you know, people in the Army, they go in there and they enlist, boy, they're going to make a career, and then they go and they strip them. They just strip them down. They carry them out and they strip them down. They start putting them through some horrific training and stuff like that, you know, and they begin to strip them of the way they thought and all of that about warfare and fighting and all that. Could they get a machine gun, do some flips? They watch too many movies. Then they get up there, boy, and they put them through. I mean, they put them through some stuff. They put them in everything that you could think of and get them sharp in battle, fearless. That's the way the Word does us. Gets us fearless. We get trained in everything through the Word of God. Then we put on the armor of God. We got it. We put on Jesus. Well, Monty, he's up there, and I don't know really what he's looking for. He's looking for something that gives satisfaction to the pressure. You know. So he gets in the car, and I just shut the door. He didn't. And I looked at him and I said, just do what you've been trained to do. Yeah. And if I'd have been Monty, I would have probably punched myself out the window. I should have backed up a little. But Monty loves me, you know. But what else am I going to tell him? I don't have a God answer. I don't have nothing. But I know if he goes and he fights the good fight, stands his ground, and goes forward and don't surrender in the times of pressure, he will get stronger. And I've watched his whole family grow. I've watched them grow and get stronger. I've watched the teenagers. I've watched them. You know, do you think they wasn't listening? They hear everything you say. They hear it. They see it. Hallelujah. And then I seen them go on because I'm like, oh, without God, they're going to fail. Everything's going to crumble. You know, that was my thinking. You got to trust God. Same way now. Don't make no difference what's going on. Trust the Lord. Let him build you up strong. Now they're in their house. Now Monty's got more problems. He's got a hill he'd like to see moved. The boy's going to be dangerous when he gets a dozer up there. I can just imagine that trailer is going to be sitting on a knob and a big ramp built up to the steps, man. He's going to flatten that place and the trailer's going to be up here. The house is going to be on a hill, you know. And if you ain't got wisdom, he will cut the house down. Well, I'll haul some more back in. We got another problem. Where are you going to get the dirt? Right? Then after you get that done, what you done is something else is going to happen. But I told Travis the other day, he's working on his building. He sits out there, he drives up in his building. They ain't there yet. Drives up on the pad. He tells Beck, can you see it? No, I can't see it. And then he gets the pad. He's like, oh, I can see it. Got a chair sitting out there like he's on the beach out there. Everybody's probably really like, what's wrong with Travis? You never see him outside. He's sitting out in the backyard just going. He's dreaming, Johnny. I taught him to dream. See, if it's okay with God in here, and if you can see it, you can have it. If you can see it, you can believe him for it. You can believe the impossible. That's what your imagination. I imagine myself at an old age still preaching, hallelujah. I don't imagine myself if I don't start thinking, boy, I don't know if I get downhill like that one. And I get downhill like that one. And that one, you know, praise God. I don't think that way. I think, nope, I got a 50-year, my 50s anointing, 60s anointing, 70s anointing, and I'm not hanging out at Jack's because, man, they're in bad shape at Jack's. I mean, Jack's down there, whoo, everybody's knees locked up, back's locked up. You know, I mean, they can't get nobody to help them, and then they can't do nothing. They might as well just quit and sell out because everything's locked up at 60. I'm thinking, God, I only got 3 more years. Only one I'm going to hang out at Jack's going to be Robert. That's it. Man, he got faith, man. I mean, anybody take puppies like he does and get good deals and all that and sell. I mean, I couldn't sell a dog. I'm not anointed for it. The man's getting, I mean, he's doing good. If God's in dogs, he's into dogs. He's into what your heart's in. Trust in him, man, praise God. So, but you know what? They're in their house. They're in their house. I told Travis the other day, I said, I moved in the house. And I got the house. Woo! Then the windows rattled. It had the 70s windows in it with no money. I tried to heat it with gas, and it cost me nearly $400 that month because there wasn't no insulation in the ceilings. I didn't have no money. I'm driving up, and I wanted a block wall. You know, I wanted it to look nice, and I didn't have no money. And you know what I did? One day I thought, well, if I believe there's a wall there, go get the ground ready. So I went and got my equipment, and I took out where the wall was going to be. Somebody came to church. I didn't have no money for the blocks. What I was telling Travis, I said I was believing God, and I sowed a seed. I planted and sowed a seed, believing God for what I couldn't do and couldn't afford, that he would supply all of my needs according to his riches. I said, so I took offerings to church and sowed seeds and sowed it into somebody, whatever the Lord was leading me. And then before you know it, somebody came to church, and they said, Brother Scotty, the Lord dealt with me, and he told me to give you all of them block over there. I said, where are they at? And so I took me a trailer over there, and I got my block wall. I was out of Indiana by faith. I went over there, and I had to go load them and all of that, but I did it and hauled them over there, and you come up to my house, and you drive in, that block wall is there. I saw it. I dreamed it. I believed God for it, and it happened. I believed Him for a metal roof with no money. We believed Him for windows with, and didn't have no money. And people have told me, well, it's because you're in business. You don't understand, that business failed me. 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, and 2011, God was my only source. God was the one that kept me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. I know it's not a Thanksgiving message, but it really is. You just go tomorrow and you be encouraged in the Lord. You be a light. You be a voice of hope for somebody. You let God use you. Let him use your life. Let Him use your faith. Hallelujah. I'm going to, whether it's tomorrow or with my family or whatever, praise the Lord. But you know what? I am going to thank God tomorrow for my harvest this year. I'm going to thank God for y'all guys. Y'all here. Y'all didn't get took out. There's a lot of them got took out of here. Did you notice that? It wasn't nothing wrong with us or them. I mean, they just started surrendering, and whatever the case might be, and some move like Judy, and we miss her, praise the Lord. But a lot of people let their mow, whatever the case, and let the enemy get them out. Not just here. I mean, all over the place. But I thank God for y'all guys. I thank you that you fought the good fight this year. That you've held course. You hadn't yielded, and you're not going to. And so you're going. The Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap. I mean, if you don't give up in well-doing, doing the things, you know, being an encouragement, praise God, not getting oppressed, and marital. Don't fold under marital issues. They're just issues. They're not worth it. Financial pressure. You know, sickness in your body attacking you. Mac, he misses us when we're not here, especially. You know, and so Brad preached, and he missed me, you know. Well, you didn't take it. Didn't take it. And I think slipped on me Monday night, and it was gone by Thursday nearly. I didn't lay down, and praise God, I got on it. I mean, I did lay down. I mean, resting and stuff and trying to eat as much as I could, you know, to keep strength up and all of that. But I'm laying there in my heart and in my faith and out of my mouth that I'm healed, and you're leaving me, and no weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm not going to the doctor. I'm not going to get shots. I'm not against any of that. But praise God, I thought I can do it by my faith quicker than the antibiotics. So just 2 or 3 days. See, that's what I'm talking about, fighting. You know, fighting means you lay hold of the Word of God, and you don't give in to how your circumstances are and everything, and you move forward and things begin to get straightened out. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise You. And Lord, we just as a body.